What's happening, Hardscapers? This is episode 250 of the How to Hardscape podcast, where we talk about how you can start and grow your hardscaping business. Thank you so much for joining us for these 250 episodes. If you've been here from the very beginning, I thank you so much. And if this is your first episode that you're listening to from us, I really appreciate you joining us here. And for all 250 episodes, these are evergreen episodes. They're applicable no matter when or where you listen to them. So go back, start from the beginning, all the way from episode number one, all the way till now, and you will have been caught up on some what I believe to be valuable information, mostly because it's not just me talking, it's the majority, 95% of them are actually other people within the industry and outside experts talking on these episodes. So thank you for joining me for these 250 episodes, first and foremost. But we have a special one here today, and this is a topic that we have not yet covered on the podcast. We have Jason Taylor. He is the principal of Predictive Success and president of Jet Coaching and Consulting. And I met Jason through actually Frank Bork, who we've had on this show a couple of times. And he did a speaking engagement on different personalities within your business and how they affect your business. And we did an assessment live on the spot and got back results. And in this episode, we actually go through those results with you. So it's a two-question assessment. You check mark a bunch of words that are applicable to those two questions that ask you about yourself, as well as how you feel others perceive you. And the amount of information that is taken from the results of that are pretty incredible. And like I said, we do a live one right here on the podcast. Jason goes through my results and tells me more about myself than I even knew. And it's really a great way to identify talent even before they become part of your business, as well as to be able to see who may clash in your business based on their personalities, your personalities, and how you can fill in weak spots within your business. I really can't do a better job than Jason of explaining this, so I'm just going to leave it to the actual episode. At the end of the episode, he does offer this free role assessment and feedback similar to what I got on this episode, and I highly suggest that you take him up on it. If you do, and you share your results, whether it's on Facebook, Instagram, and you tag me, and if you do it and you tag me, I'll send you some merch package of some sort. So that's a little bit more of an incentive than what you already get with this free role assessment. You just have to email him jtaylor@predictivesuccess.com. That's JTAYLOR at predictivesuccess.com. Let him know that you heard him on Mike's podcast, How to Hardscape podcast, whatever you want to say there. And if you hear me use Predictive Success and Predictive Index interchangeably in this episode, Predictive Success is the company and the Predictive Index is a talent optimization platform by Predictive Success, and the Predictive Index behavioral assessment is the assessment that we're doing in this episode, and it's offered to you at the end of the episode as well here. And if you hear me use Predictive Success and Predictive Index interchangeably in this episode, Predictive Success is the company and the Predictive Index is a talent optimization platform by Predictive Success, and the Predictive Index behavioral assessment is the assessment that we're doing in this episode, and it's offered to you at the end of the episode as well here. And before we get into this, I want to say that our How to Hardscape headquarters software is going up in price. We're hitting another milestone. This is a new feature coming out, which is course creation. So you as a admin for your business can create your own course. This could be anything that you want it to be: safety training videos, an onboarding course, and so on and so forth, that you can monitor your employees' progress through these courses. You'll also have access to our courses. That's the interlocking concrete pavement course, segmental retaining wall installation course. They've got tests at the end of them. We've got more courses than just that. So you can actually give your employees certificates. You can create tests to go along with the courses that you create, all to incentivize them to get things done, take agency in your business, especially if you can provide them with a roadmap forward to progress through your business. That's the whole purpose of this course creation area in the software. But we're also releasing our app to go along with the software. That's the iPhone and Android app. And that is a huge milestone for us because it's going to be a lot easier for you to time track in the field with this app rather than going through the Safari or whatever browser you're using on your phone to be able to use the software. Now the app is going to be available. So this month, if you're listening to this, 2024, March, the pricing will be increasing for new users only. Existing users, you're not going to experience this price increase. So if there's a time to sign up, it would be now, especially before we hit this huge milestone. And we'll continue to go up in pricing for new users as well as we add more and more features. The goal of this software is to just continue to add more and more features. Rather than having a software for this, a app for that, and so on and so forth here, we just want it to be all under one house. So now is a better time to sign up if you're looking to get in just before another price increase. Shoot me a message at How to Hardscape on Instagram or members.howtohardscape.com if you want more information on that. And we want to say thank you to our sponsor, Cycle CPA. If you're looking for bookkeeping, accounting, CFO services, reach out to Cycle CPA at cyclecpa.com. Let them know How to Hardscape sent you for money off their services there. And without further ado, let's get into our episode with Jason Taylor. Today, we're joined by Jason Taylor. He is the principal of Predictive Success and president of Jet Coaching and Consulting. Jason, I've got to hear you speak a couple of times, especially talking about that predictive success. And we're going to get into that assessment in this episode. So, Jason, thanks so much for taking the time to sit down with me.
Yeah, awesome. Glad to be here. I was excited to talk to you. I was able to meet you at the speaking engagement there, and I love what you're doing and love to be part of this.
Amazing. And I'm excited about this because with this podcast, we're trying to get a wide variety of topics and industry experts within their own industries on the show to help out hardscape business owners, landscape construction business owners. And this is an interesting one because we haven't touched on something like predictive success and what it allows us and our business owners to be able to do. So Jason, let's get started to get to know a little bit more about you, yourself, how you got started and what brought you to where you are today. Let's get a little bit of a context of Jason there.
Yeah, absolutely. I started out my young career, which seems decades ago now, which because it was decades ago, I started out in sales for a big company, Labatt Breweries of Canada. Worked my way up through the ranks at Labatt's, ended up doing a lot of sales, leading sales organizations, handling key customers, most importantly, coaching people for performance, right? Then I went over to some other companies in the beverage world, and then I got the entrepreneur bug. And I brought a brand with some other people called Firehouse Subs to Canada. And one day I was talking to one of my friends and he said, I got somebody you need to meet. And his name was David Leahy. David is the founder of Predictive Success. And he said, hey, you know, I like your stuff. Why don't you come work for me? And I actually said, how about I work with you, not for you? And he said, how does that work? And we kind of figured that out along the way. And ever since it's been an incredible journey. I've created better work, better world for myself. And Michael, when I say better work, better world, a lot of people, you know, they think it's this big holistic thing that I'm talking about. Better work, better world for me actually just means I love what I do, so I don't look at the clock all day long, right? So, and when you do that, and that's kind of my mission, and that's kind of what I try to do with every industry I work with, I try to create better work, better world, because when we do that, it doesn't feel like work. Let's be honest. There's sometimes when we're working, and it doesn't matter how much we love the job, we're saying this, I'd rather be somewhere else right now. I'd rather be on a cruise. I'd rather be on a vacation on a beach. I get it. But the ultimate goal is enjoy what you're doing because your behaviors match what you're doing. And then it doesn't feel like such a grind. And, you know, when you follow your passion and you line into what you should be doing, life's better. Right. And it's more feasible, and it helps the company out as well.
Definitely. So then predictive success, what is it? How did you come into this? And give us a little bit of context about that.
Yeah. So when David and I decided to work together, well, I'll back up actually. I saw predictive success, and when David and the team actually did it on me, I thought, like, how could they know that? Like, I just literally answered two questions and picked some words. That's all I did. And when they told me, you know, more about myself than some of my family knows, I was just like, okay, this is crazy. So I did a deep dive on it. And I just thought, you know what, you can actually implement this into companies and help them with their biggest problem, which is people, right? No, and Michael, I'll back up on that. So it doesn't matter what problem you have in any company, it always drills down to a person, right? So when that owner's lying awake in bed at night thinking, you know, why can't I sleep right now? I guarantee you, if he or she drills down to it, it's a person that's keeping them up, right? So it's the biggest cost on any company's line, and it's the biggest thing that we can improve. So that's why I got into it with David, and that's why I said, you know what, I want to be part of this. And now I'm fortunate to be traveling the world doing this, going to every different sector of every different industry, doing loads in the landscape construction industry right now, and helping them, you know, create, you know, better working relationships, inspiring their current employees quicker, getting them engaged, hiring better, and actually getting to our results quicker than we ever have in the past.
So where does Jason call home?
So I live in Whitby, Ontario, just 30 minutes east of Toronto. When I'm traveling the world, I always say Toronto because nobody knows where Whitby is, right? But Whitby, Ontario, born and raised in Oshawa, Whitby area, playing sports all my life, then going to school for advertising and business. It's not a straight line, right? We just, you know, I do nothing in advertising right now. All I do is coach and speak and get people to a better place now.
Gotcha. Okay. So predictive success. You've already mentioned two questions, a bunch of check boxes under different words, and you get this result. What is this? What is this assessment? What is it meant to kind of tell us about ourselves and about our employees? Let's kind of pick this apart step by step here.
Yeah, for sure. So what predictive index and success does is in two questions and picking some words, I get to know how you behave. Okay. And and those two questions are how do you think you behave and how do you think others want you to behave, right? And when you answer those two questions, I get three graphs on you, on who you are and what you're all about. I get to see, I like to call it your DNA, how you behave 95% of the time. And I get to see how you're behaving based on your last, you know, 90 to 120 days and how you're flexing your behaviors based on what's coming at you. Because people's behaviors change all the time because life changes all the time. I'm getting married. I'm getting divorced, birth in the family, death in the family. I can't stand my new boss. Why is our business down so much? Why we can't keep up with how great business is, right? So we have our constant behaviors that we have all the time. And then we have our changing behaviors as we're flexing to meet what's coming at us from the outside world, right? So with that, now as an owner, I have data, I have power. Okay. And what I mean by that is you get to hire the whole person now, right? And you get to know the whole person. So let's talk about it in two ways. So if I'm hiring a whole person, I get to see the whole person now. And what I mean by that is you see their briefcase. Okay. And what I mean by that is, you know, what their education is, what their skills are, their references, their past experience. Okay. Through a conversation, I get to know their heart, right? And their values and their interests. That's just a conversation of what you're into and what you like. But what I really need to know is what are their behavioral and cognitive drives? And I get that through the assessment. And then I'm able to hire the whole person and make a data-based decision, or what I like to say, a golden gut decision. So when people say, hey, I go with my gut, I always say, well, how about we go with your golden gut? Let's take your gut, but let's put a little data behind that so you make a better decision. Let's backtrack now though. So that's how I'm seeing the whole person come into my organization. Now I make a better hire. But what about the people that are already working for me? So if you're working for me and I'm worried about everybody that I'm hiring right now and you know, I'm doing a really good job on that. You've been working for me for 5 years, let's pretend, right? You're probably saying, okay, well hey, what about me? I'm working for you. You're spending all these time with these new people. Well, what about me? I'm currently working for you. And that's important. So that's why our platform also does an inspire part of the platform, which now I can say, hey, Michael, here's your report. Based on what you do, how do I need to coach you? How do I need to be as a leader with you? How do I make sure I'm a little more self-aware as a leader by knowing my personality? How does that affect you? And how can I actually get you to a better place and make you a little more productive, right? Because here's the formula that most leaders forget, okay? If I actually increase my retention in my business and decrease my turnover, those two things together Those two things equal productivity. Okay. Productivity fuels engagement. Engagement fuels culture, and culture has a direct line in my bottom line. It's not a, you know, it's not a fluke or something lucky that happens that companies with great culture make more money than companies that don't have great culture. They work hard at it, right? And it's important to know that your company could be 3 people or 30,000 people. It doesn't matter. You have people working for you. You're hiring and you're inspiring, right? So let's make sure that we get those people on the same page so we're all moving towards the same goal in a more efficient manner, and we're actually enjoying what we do along the way.
Makes a lot of sense. So when you identify somebody in your business, or you bring on, say, a laborer, at what point in time would you recommend looking towards this index to see who they are as a person? Is it like before you hire them? Is it immediately after you hire them? Or is it only for those roles that, say, just as an example, higher than a laborer because you recognize them as somebody that can move up through your organization?
Yeah, great question. So how I do it is I don't make a hire without knowing their predictive index. Okay. So I would never hire somebody and then say, okay, now let's give you the assessment. They take the assessment, but it's almost, think of it as a key to entry into my organization. Okay. It is, I need to know you, what I'm getting, what you're all about, and how I need to lead you before you actually get hired from me and before I actually bring you into the organization. Okay. On your comment on when do you do it? That's basically up to the person running the company, but and I've seen it both ways. So sometimes people will say, "Hey, I want to." It's a high turned out job. Like there's going to be thousands of people interviewing for it. So I'll actually give my predictive indexes ahead of time. I'll filter it, make a short list based on who fits the behavior I'm looking for a little closer, right? So I can do that. Or I do my first interviews first, and then I say, hey, I like these, you know, 20 people. And then I give my predictive indexes to them, right? But I always do it before I hire, okay? Your comment on what level do you do it on? And I have this conversation daily, okay? It doesn't matter if that person's a crew member, a laborer, or the CEO. Every role has behaviors, okay? And our job and the owner's job or the leader of the company's job is to know what behaviors are we looking for in that role and then match the person to that job. Okay. So I do this in loads of landscape companies where we're talking crew members, right? I do this in factories where we're talking about, you know, people that stock shelves, right? We have big retail customers that are, you know, people work in the warehouse, manufacturers where people are in the factory and literally, you know, sometimes pushing a button and doing that for 8 hours. It doesn't matter what the role is. If I can determine what the behaviors I'm looking for in that role and what the behaviors of you are, I then increase that formula, right? So I increase my retention, I decrease my turnover, and I just add to that formula. Here's the thing, Michael, that owners and leaders don't understand. And I know why they don't. They don't put a lot of effort sometimes. That's not true all the time. A lot of owners take a lot of time to do this. But when they're looking at their financials and their P&Ls, they see labor. They see cost of goods. They see leaseholds. They see equipment. They see those. Those are black and white items on the financials. They don't see productivity. They don't see retention. They don't see turnover. They don't see engagement. They don't see culture. So we tend to not focus on it. But those lines that you don't see are tens of thousands of dollars to a company. And when we actually improve those lines, our bottom line becomes much more robust. And when it becomes more robust, we actually make more money. And it's one of those things that at the end of the year, they're thinking, we made more money this year. Where did that happen? And it's because you improve those lines that you don't see on the P&L.
Makes a lot of sense. So that kind of leads into my next question here, as well as some follow-ups that kind of fall in line with it. And that's the practical purposes of this assessment in a business. I know we're probably going to get into like roles, responsibilities, but one thing that came up as you're talking there, is this going to help us kind of see who's going to work well together, especially on a small crew, to be able to identify those possible future conflicts that may occur?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the platform, we have a We have two things that would address that. So we have one thing called the relationship guide. So I can actually plug you in and me in. If you're my new boss and you just hired me, you can actually plug us both in, and immediately, literally within 10 seconds, I'll get a report that says, here's Michael and Jason's strong points to the relationship. Here's the strength of the relationship. Here's the caution areas to the relationship based on who they are. And here's some recommendations on how to make sure that the relationship thrives. Okay. I love that report because it makes us more self-aware. And when we're more self-aware, we actually get on to bigger and better things, as opposed to just arguing about the little minutiae stuff that we don't need to, right? If I know who you are ahead of time and you know who I am, we kind of deal with that, right? Communication's everything, right? It's you know, when we actually run to the problem or address it right away, you'd be amazed on what actually happens. So that's one thing that we have to make sure that we're getting along. The other thing we have is a part of the system which is most popular. It's called team dynamics, and we design teams. And I can actually take who's ever on your team, as long as they've done an assessment, I can put them into a pie. And the pie has four quadrants, okay? So teamwork and employee experience, innovation and agility, results and discipline, and process and precision. And where you sit in the pie shows me how you behave and what strengths you bring to the team. When I put you as a team into that pie, I see where does everybody place in the pie and how are they going to work together as a team now, right? So now that's a competitive advantage over my competitors, over the industry. So now I can actually say, hey, based on this team that I put together, here's the strengths. Here's what they're going to do, you know, amazingly at. Here's what we need to double down on. They're going to be fantastic at that. Okay. But what's also important is I see your blind spots. So, you know, what are the blind spots of this team and how do I address that ahead of time? So I really don't have to worry about it. And to my point earlier in the podcast, lose sleep at night over it thinking, you know, why is this happening? Right. And then what the team dynamics also does is it gives you recommendations for the team. It says, hey, based on your strengths and your blind spots, here's top three recommendations based in science on what you can do to actually make this team thrive. Right. And I do that a lot in your world. I'll get a company and I'm dealing with one client right now where you get a company and they'll say, hey, here's our crews that we have currently working together. Can we improve this? And I'll actually, Michael, say to them, can I guess which crew takes the longest time to get something done and probably frustrates you a little more than the others? And the gentleman that I work with said, yeah, take a guess. And I said, it's crew two. It's this one right here. And his face just dropped. And he was like, how do you know that? And I said, because I know their profile. So I know that this crew right now is more collaborative. They're more of, let's work together. Let's seek harmony. They don't have somebody on that crew that makes a decision, right? So there, when you don't have somebody that makes a decision, you go to the owner all the time and you say, okay, hey, we want to do this. And the owner's frustrated thinking, yeah, of course you do that. We do that every day. Just do it. Right. So I knew kind of right away what crew is causing this gentleman frustration and whatnot. So what did we do? We actually mixed the crews up. We actually made the crews a little, we fine tuned them. Right. And all of a sudden, instead of one crew dominating and, you know, their jobs get done, they get, you know, four jobs done in a day and the other ones are doing one, you know, they're still doing four jobs, but the others are doing two and three. And we're becoming more productive as a team and we're actually getting to our result a little quicker.
You did mention the four pieces of the pie. I got teamwork, processes. I forget the other two. What do those each of the pieces of the pie explain what are they?
Yeah. So if I have an employee in teamwork and employee experience, they're all about culture. They're all about the greater good of the company, warm, fuzzy feeling. Let's strive to the results together. They seek harmony. They brainstorm out loud. They resolve conflict by focusing on the people involved in the company. If I get to somebody who's in innovation and agility, what do they bring? They're risk takers. They try new things. They experiment. They want to look under the rock. They want to look behind the tree. They want to say, hey, is there a different revenue stream that we can do? Is there something we can do differently that'll make us a little more efficient, right? They also resolve conflict by focusing on the people involved on their team. If I have somebody in the results and discipline section, they're all about results, goal achievement. Okay, they're concise in their communication. Okay, they're the people that when you send them a text, and you'll send them a wordy text. They reply yes, no, and you think, is this person mad at me? They're not mad at you. It's just that's who they are, right? They're just short, to the point, right? They are more about they're more about is what we're doing actually making us money, right? And let's make sure that it is. And then if you have somebody in the process and precision, they're about being organized, being efficient. I like to call them, they're the glue of the organization. They're the ones who, when somebody in innovation and agility says, we should do this, this is crazy, let's do it, we can get it done next week. The people in process and precision are saying, next week, maybe next month. There's a lot of steps to doing that. And let's actually put some structure and process behind it, right? The one thing I like about the results and discipline and process and precision people, okay, they look at a, when they're on a team, they think about where are we going and who will get me there. The people in teamwork and employee experience and innovation agility say, who's on my team and where are we going? So two totally different strategies, but both correct strategies. And isn't it nice to have balance sometimes in a company? And when you put a crew together, say, hey, we're going to look at things differently. But when we look at things differently, that's amazing because, well, because we make better decisions, right? When we have different personalities and behaviors in a company, and not everybody's thinking the exact same way, now we make decisions better, right? And we make different decisions. The way I think about something is probably different than the way you think about something. You're not right or wrong. I'm not right or wrong, but we'll get there together. And when we get there together, we actually create, you know, better work, better world for ourselves.
We want to take a break from today's episode to thank our sponsor, Cycle CPA. Are you basing your business decisions solely on a gut feeling? If so, you may be leaving potential profits on the table. It's crucial to base these important decisions on your financials, whether you're planning to hire a new employee, add another crew, purchase equipment or vehicles, or take on more debt to support a new service line. At Cycle CPA, they not only handle bookkeeping and taxes, but they also provide guidance in advisory services tailored to the landscape and hardscape industry. Their team of specialized accountants ensures that when it comes to making the next key decision in your company, you'll have a financial partner in your corner. So visit them at cyclecpa.com. And for $200 off, mention the How to Hardscape podcast. Now back to our episode. Does this play into, I remember in your talk, you had a chart with four quadrants, talking about the culture champion in your business and so on and so forth there. Can you walk us through what that was? And does this tie into kind of what we're just talking about there with the four different pieces of the pie?
Yeah, it's a little different than the pie, but what I do, but it's a great question. So every company that that's out there, and I'm saying every company, okay, has people that will fall into one of four quadrants, okay? You'll either fall into the top quadrant, which is what I call cultural champion. That's where we want everybody to be. They're highly engaged and they have high performance, okay? Like tick, tick, love them, okay? Then we have the quadrant that I call the grinders, okay? And the grinders are low engagement, high performance. We put up with them a little bit because you know what? They're not drinking the company Kool-Aid and saying everything's great all the time, but the performance is there and they make sure the job gets done and on time. And they're important to our company. Okay. We then have the quadrant I call the contaminators. Okay. Low engagement, low performance. Okay. We need to get rid of them fast. Okay, because think of a contaminator, think of cancer. When we have a cancer on our team, we cut it out, right? If we have cancer in our body, we cut it out. We don't want it to affect the rest of the body. So when we have a contaminator on our team, think of that as we don't want that to spread in our company, right? So we actually say, okay, let's get, you know, Sally, Johnny, Susie, or Jimmy out. They're out, right? And it's an easy out, right? Because they're not performing and they're not engaged. Then we have a quadrant I call the silent killers, okay? And the silent killers we keep around forever because they're highly engaged, but there's low performance. But we keep them around, Michael, because they love everything we say. They love everything about the company. If I said, you know what, we should, you know, spend $5 million on this, they'll say, yeah, that's a great idea. And when people are like that with you, lots of times think, oh, they're not causing me any headaches right now. They're agreeing with what I do. But then if you look at their performance, you're saying, well, wait a second, the performance isn't there, right? So silent killers we need to get out of our company as well if we can't get them to the performance level. I don't believe in not coaching. I believe we coach people to performance, but you have to be aware of how much time you're coaching, which actually segues to another discussion about coaching, right? So, you know, if always remember, like attracts like, right? So if I'm an A player, most likely I hang around and make sure I'm being around A players. Okay. Same with B players, C players, D players. What a lot of coaches do and companies do is they'll coach the D player and try to make him or her an A player, right? And that takes a lot of effort, right? So there's two things that happen there. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of effort. Okay. And what do you think I'm going to ask you this, what do you think the watch out for that is? If I'm coaching my D player all the time, what's the watch out?
The coaching. Oh, is that you're not focusing on the other players in your business?
Yeah, you're right, Michael. Right. So one, it takes a lot of energy, but two, the A player is saying, like, what are we spending all our time with that gentleman over there for? Here I am. I'm highly engaged. I'm performing, right? And I'm doing what I said I'd do. I'm going above and beyond, and you're spending all your time with him, right? A players want to be coached too, right? So when I go into a company, I look at the four quadrants, and I actually have hard discussions with them, and they say, hey, I want you to take your employees right now, and I want you to really, you know, I literally draw four squares on a page and list your employees. Who's the cultural champion? Who do we have to coach a little more? Who do we need to actually, because if I coach you just a little more, those cultural champions, the results are phenomenal because they get it and they go hard at it. I can get the grinder to be a little more engaged, right? I can work on the silent killer a bit on performance, but I would put them third in the list of coaching. And the contaminator, I'm not interested in coaching actually. I'll do the basics, but if it doesn't stick, I know one thing, there's only a certain amount of hours in a day, and I'm not going to affect the rest of my organization if somebody can't get on board quickly.
Also, roles and responsibilities. Is the index going to help us identify people that are in the wrong role, that are ready to move on to another role? Is that going to help us also identify those?
Yeah, absolutely. So I want you to think of it this way. So just as people have behaviors, so do roles. Roles have behaviors as well. And what we do when we go into a company is we say, okay, we're going to actually identify the role. So the great thing about this is, just as you did our survey, and it took you, what, 5 minutes, 6 minutes to do our survey, right?
Yeah.
A role assessment takes roughly 10 minutes, okay? Whatever that role is, I send you a link. So it could be, maybe it's a foreman on your team, okay? I send you a link. It says foreman. You open up that link. You check off the statements that are relevant to that role, and only the ones that are relevant to that role. And in 10 minutes, I have a scientifically validated behavioral framework of what you're looking for in that role. Now that's the magic, because now I know the behaviors of the role. I know the behaviors of the person. I actually overlay the behaviors of the person on top of the role. And science shows me the fits and the gaps of that person to that role. And if they will do the job, not can do the job. Oh, that's a big statement. Okay. So I'll give you an example, Michael. So I know your profile. You can do 1,000 jobs. You can do 1,000 jobs. I know you can. I know your profile. Will you do a job? That's a totally different question, right? Will you do that job day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, right? Therefore, back to the formula, improving my retention, decreasing my turnover, increasing my productivity, my engagement, my culture, my bottom line, making that bottom line robust and making sure that I make more money.
Got it. Okay, so let's get into some real world examples here. Sure. Obviously, without naming any names that you're dealing with, any stories of companies that you've stepped in, you've helped with, you've identified those silent killers and cut them out, or any stories like that that you have after doing the index that you've kind of helped that client turn their business around or get them in the right direction, essentially?
Yeah, essentially that's what they pay me to do, right? So I'll give you a couple stories that I'm really proud of, actually. So we have a big retailer that we deal with, a very big retailer. And that retailer was having troubles with what we call basket size, okay? So the shopper was going into the location. They you know, the year previous in the or 2 years previous, they were buying a lot, and now their basket size was decreasing. They weren't spending a lot anymore. When we actually did a deep dive on that, we said, okay, do we have the right people in the right roles, right? So who actually greets the customer as they come into the location? Who actually helps the customer out? Who does the suggesting? Who does that? And we looked at profiles, and we looked at what profile would be best at that job. Okay, so we assessed the role. When we assessed the role, and then we assessed the people that were already in the role, there were some misses, right? And there were some misses that, this retailer thought, yeah, we're hiring the right people, but they weren't. These people were still great, and they still had other roles that they could do within the company. So they weren't losing jobs. We were just switching them up a little bit. So as we hired more people, we hired to that profile of what we were looking for: somebody social, somebody engaging, somebody quickly connects with people, somebody who is impatient for results, has low patience, but wants to have a higher sense of drive, higher sense of urgency, somebody who is detailed, listened to the customer, right? And when we actually did that in some test locations first and hired only to the profile, the basket size increased by 27%. So 27% in a basket size, they're already spending money. Now think of that. Over and over, they're increasing that basket size by 27% on average. Now all of a sudden we have some money coming in the organization, right? I'll give you another example. We work with a manufacturer, and they were already a client, and they were using us for high-level jobs: management, middle management, VPs, directors, and whatnot. And we said to them, we said, listen, why aren't you using it for those lower level laborer jobs? Okay. And I don't like to say lower level, but laborer jobs, less pay, we'll say. Okay. And they said, well, it's the person just, stocking shelves and moving things around and whatnot. And this is a big manufacturer. Okay. And I said, but if you look at your turnover, the largest part of your turnover is that role. And they said, yes. And I said, okay, so we need to assess that. And as part of their process, and it was a high-level job, lots of students applying for it, summer jobs, whatever. When they actually filtered out who they actually need and who had the behaviors based on having to be patient, staying there for 8 hours, doing something mundane, not really exciting, and whatnot, what personality could take that, as opposed to think of the person in the retailer that would leave right away. They couldn't take that. When we did that with them, they improved their retention by 4.3%. So 4.3% in a big company, that's massive amounts of dollars, right? So that's huge dollars, right?
Right.
And the way we work is you pay for, if you're a company, you pay for a subscription with us, right? Depending on the size of your company, determines the price. Here's what's great about that: it's unlimited. So now you're not hoarding assessments thinking, I'm not going to give Michael an assessment. I already know him. I don't need to. I'm giving everybody in my company an assessment. I'm giving everybody that's coming into my company an assessment. So I know my company, and I actually build my talent, right? And optimize my talent, right? And that's two stories that actually equate to money in the bottom line, right? So when you do that for a customer, when you solve a problem like that for them, a people problem, which is all their problems, every company's problems, when you solve that problem for them, they sleep better at night. They make more money. And it's important to have healthy culture, but isn't it great to have healthy culture and make money at the same time? Right? That's the key, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, Jason, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here, and I'm going to give you some pushback. This isn't pushback that I have personally, but I know that possibly somebody out there might have this pushback, and that's why invest this time and money, and especially the time involved in doing this as a business owner before even hiring somebody, especially for those starting positions. It's quite the investment for somebody that may not even be with the company, may not even be hired, or quite an investment for somebody that gets hired and just leaves like almost immediately. So why?
Yeah, it's an excellent question, and one that I get on a daily basis, right? So here's why. Okay, first and foremost, I'll answer the first part of it. If they're just coming in and going out, right? If they're just coming in and going out, it's a summer job, say, right? Or that we know they're going to be here just for the season and whatnot. Wouldn't I want to know how productive that person's going to be? Wouldn't I want to know that I've had them for 3 months or 2 months or whatever it is, and how can I best coach them based on who they are? So in that 2 months that I have them, they could be great. One, I want to know that if they do leave or they're here for a short time, would I want to bring them back? Right? Do they have maybe a potential leadership position in my company? So that's one I would say for people that are in and out, transient jobs. Okay. Two, transient jobs. I try to make them so they're not transient jobs. Okay. So I try to make it so they can stick and they become part of your team. And it's not just a fly by night person coming through. It's hopefully a person that stays in our organization. And then what I relate back to owners and business leaders is this. Every business, I don't care if you're like three people or, like I said earlier, 30,000 people, every business has a strategy, right? That strategy is there because that's what we're in business for. We have a strategy. That strategy is to obtain business results, right? So we have a strategy to obtain results. The link between those two things is people, right? So if I actually hire better, inspire better, design my teams better, coach better, become more self-aware as a leader and know how my behaviors are affecting my team, I get to my results quicker and with a little less pain along the way, right? And the time part of it, I actually think you save time. So I would argue that the companies that work with us save time because they have the data and they're not guessing anymore. So they know why that person acts that way. They know why the person's being that way. They know why the person in that role, there's a couple misses and there's a couple strengths. They know that here's the things that are going to keep me up. If I know ahead of time and that resonates with me, well, that's okay now. Now I can deal with that ahead of time. So it actually saves us time as opposed to taking time. And isn't that great as an owner or a leader when you save time because it increases our mind time? Now I can do that, use that time to what? Think of new areas of revenue. I can think of how do we get more business? I can think of, how am I going to make a better system overall around, right? So that's the stuff we do. It actually saves us time and it actually puts money on our bottom line as opposed to taking it.
Excellently put. Jason, I've really enjoyed this discussion and we're going to get to my assessment shortly here,
sure.
I believe,
yeah.
If we have a little bit more time.
Yeah.
And just hearing you speak also at the event that we met at, I do have one last quick question here. And that is, how many percentage of businesses do you go into that there are those silent killers that these business owners are holding on to? Is it just a vast majority of these businesses just have these silent killers and they're holding on to them for some reason? Or is this just certain individuals that tend to hold on to these silent killers?
Yeah, no, it is. It's business by business, right?
Yeah.
So I could go into any business and there's always a silent killer. There's always a silent killer. But we love them. We love them because they're highly engaged, right? They're the high fivers. They think, you know what, this company is great. I love being with this company. I've been with this company for 5 years, 10 years, and we love them. And there is a place for them, but we just have to make sure we drive up the performance. We can't be blind to the performance, right? So there's silent killers in every business, right? Every business I go into, I say, let's map out your people, right? Sometimes there's only a few, sometimes there's a lot. And I give them credentials to look at and say, hey, I want you to take these credentials now and I want you to actually put them in play to see where you map out your people. And Michael, there's always surprised answers. Lots of times the owners say, oh, I never thought of that person like that. I love that person. I know you love that person. Now let's look at their performance. Okay. So what do we need to do to increase that performance? How do we need to get that person to a better place? And I go in not looking to, I don't believe in saying, hey, we need to, the answer, but if I'm more aware and I know who the person is, and now I know they're a silent killer or a cultural champion, I now know their assessment. I know how to coach them. I know my behaviors. I'm a little more self-aware as a leader. I can actually get them to a better place. And that's a key thing, self-awareness as a leader, right? So true self-awareness, most people think self-awareness is, I know how I behave, so I'm self-aware. That's not true self-awareness. True self-awareness is I know how I behave, but more importantly, I know how my behaviors affect you. And when I know that as a leader, now I can adjust. I can actually say different messages along the way, tweak them just a bit, still give out the same message I need to my team, but make it resonate with everybody based on who they are and who I am. And when it resonates with people, then we get to performance a little quicker.
I love that quote that you just put there. True self-awareness is not just knowing how I behave, but how my behavior affects you. That was perfect.
Yeah, it's so true. And I'll give you a test. Go home tonight, ask all your friends, ask anybody you want. Say, hey, do you think you're self-aware? And I promise you, they'll all say yes. They'll all say yes. Everybody thinks that they're self-aware, right? But true self-awareness is not only do I know how I behave, I know how my behaviors affect others. And then I can adjust, right? And that's ultimately what we're all trying to strive for, being a self-aware leader. And managing my company properly, leading my people properly, and creating better work, better world.
Beautiful. Jason, do we have a little bit of time here to go through my assessment that I submitted
Sure.
there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
Awesome.
absolutely. I will. Do you want me to just share my screen?
Absolutely. So for our audio listeners, as Jason is pulling that up and sharing his screen, we at where I met Jason, we did the assessment live and submitted it. Jason has pulled up my assessment. So for our audio listeners, which is 99% of our audience. If you want to see this visually, go to the How to Hardscape YouTube channel and you can actually see the visual assessment there. But we'll also do this audio anyways here.
Okay, perfect. So I will start. So let me just get my hands because I like to move the graphs with my hands. So you answer two questions, you pick some words, and from that, I get an incredibly accurate survey on who you are and what you're all about. Okay. First and foremost, I find out what your predictive index profile is, and you're what we call an operator. Okay. There's only 7 to 17 profiles that you can possibly be. They fall into four buckets: a social bucket, a stabilizing bucket, a persistent bucket, or an analytical bucket. You fall into the stabilizing bucket. You're an operator. Okay. An operator is very patient. They're great listeners. Okay. They seek harmony. They look for consensus when they make a decision, and they like to create belief. And I'm a big believer that belief fuels passion, and passion rarely fails. Okay. From those two questions, I get three graphs on you. I get a self concept, and a synthesis. The self, this is what I call your DNA. This is how you're hardwired. This is how you behave 95% of the time. Your self-concept, this is a 90 to 120 day rear view look at your world, your life, your environment, and how you're flexing your behaviors, how you're behaving based on what's being thrown at you. Self-concepts change all the time. You know, right? My business isn't going well. My business is thriving. I can't keep up. My kid didn't get the scholarship. I'm getting married. I'm getting divorced. Birth in the family, death in the family, whatever's going on in your life. You flex your behaviors based on what's happening there. And then your synthesis, this is what I call observable behavior. It's a mathematical average of the top two charts. However, who I get on day one if I hire you or promote you, this is who I get for the next 3 months. And I also get to figure out how you like to make a decision. Okay. So if I look at your profile, let's go to the self. We measure four things. Okay. We measure A, your dominance factor, B, your extroversion factor, C, your patience factor, and D, your formality factor. When I say dominance factor, I mean how you like to lead and generate ideas through your organization and in your life. When I say extroversion factor, how do you like to connect with people and how do you like to be connected with? When I say your C factor, your patience factor, how do I need to structure your world so I get the most out of you and you stay with me a long time and you don't leave me for a couple extra dollars across the street? And D, your formality factor, how structured or how precise or how flexible you are. So if I look at your profile, Michael, and this is why it's a sought-after profile, quite frankly, your A, your dominance factor, you're on the collaborative side, meaning it doesn't need to be your decision. You just want the right decision. You want the best decision to move forward with the company and what you're doing. Your B, your extroversion factor, you're on the reserve side. I'm going to be clear on something. It has nothing to do with you being social. What it means is give me time to think about it. Let me digest that before I say yes or no. Let me ponder that before I give you an answer. Okay. The other thing I like about lower B's is I like to say long to trust, long to loyal. You're not going to trust me right away if you just meet me. You're going to say that he hasn't earned that trust yet. But once I earn your trust, once I actually show you that, hey, I said I was going to do this and I did it, and you let me into your world, you'll be incredibly loyal to me along the way. Your C, your patience factor, whoa, you are patient. You're steady. You're methodical. You're strategic. Okay. More importantly, you're an incredible listener. Okay. You listen to understand as opposed to just listening to hear. Okay. You really digest what you're listening to. And then your D, your formality factor, you're flexible in your approach. Okay. Sound like you so far?
Yeah, it's very eerie how similar it is, not just to how I perceive myself, but also what I hear from others as well.
Yeah. So, but let's talk about something now. So I know for a fact there's a lot going on in your world. Right. And I know this because you took this assessment February 7th. Okay. So I know there's a lot going on in your world because your self-concept's changed. Okay. So I know you're juggling a lot of balls right now. Okay. And you're just trying to make sure none of them fall. And I know that because a few things have happened, right? So your C has come way down and your B has come way up. So you're collaborative by nature. Okay. Your B, you're connecting with people more so than ever right now, the last 90 to 120 days. Okay. You're seeking people out. This is a big one. When your C drops from being very patient to still on the patient side, you're still high patience, but it drops. I just know that there's a lot of balls in the air right now, and you're flexing your behavior just to make sure you keep up with this and you don't drop any of those balls. And you're going to be flexible in the way you do that. Okay. If I get you on my team tomorrow, this is who I get. I get somebody because this is an average of the top two charts. I get somebody who's collaborative, seeks the right decision, the best decision. I get somebody who thinks before he speaks. Ponders, reflects before he makes a decision. I get somebody who's steady, methodical, patient in the way they do things, somebody flexible in his approach. And then I bring in your E score. And your E score is simply what basis of judgment do you use when making a decision? And you're subjective. Okay. You go with your experience, what your past has taught you, what your friends or colleagues say along the way. Okay. We're not talking about what's for lunch. We're talking about a business decision. You like to go with kind of what your gut tells you. Okay. If I look at your strongest behaviors, you're very guarded, you're risk adverse. Okay. That doesn't mean you don't take risk, you take calculated risk. Okay. You're a very, very big thinker. Okay. You think about things before you do them, which is why you probably started this podcast, right? You're in constant search of information. Okay. You like knowledge. I need to feed you with knowledge all the time, just because you're always on Google, you're always listening to a podcast or an audiobook. It's just kind of who you are, what the operator does. You're cooperative way, in the way you do things. You're very methodical, you're steady, you work at a steady pace. Very few things surprises you along the way. You almost plan for the surprises in the day to come up. You kind of know that they're coming up along the way. You're very casual with the rules, okay? And you take each day as it comes. You don't let something get off your day. The summary, this is just what I talked about, but in essay format, right? I would take a couple things from here for sure, though, right? Amazing, amazing listener, listening to understand, okay? Two, really good at figuring out the details along the way, okay? And really good at figuring out what the process and the precision we need to make sure that whatever we do together, we actually come up with that together, okay? And then last but not least, management strategies. I love this part, okay? Because management strategies goes back to the formula, right? How do I increase my retention, decrease my turnover, increase my productivity, my engagement, my culture, right? If I know as your leader or your boss how to manage you based on who you are, I increase that formula and you stay with me a little longer and you don't leave me for a couple extra dollars across the street. So here's how I manage this profile, okay? I need to give you stability. Okay, I need to make sure that you're in a familiar environment and you understand what success looks like. What does first quarter, second quarter, third quarter look like, right? What does success mean? Okay, I need to make sure I use your expertise. And if I'm asking you to do anything out of your expertise, I need to make sure I teach you because you're in search of knowledge and you actually like to teach people, right? So I need to make sure if you know it, go hard on that level of expertise. If you don't know it, make sure I teach you so you can teach it and make sure you can help other people. Okay. I need to make sure I'm consistent in the process. Operators hate it when the process changes all the time. Okay. When, you know, one day we're doing it this way, the next day we're doing it this way, next week we're trying this. Like operators kind of like, let's figure out what's best and then let's move forward together as it. Okay. Thorough training, like I said, knowledge in anything I ask you to do. Okay. An opportunity to interact with others in a helpful way. Okay. Operators like to teach. They like to coach. They like to mentor. They like to help others. They grow and support. Okay. And opportunity to just build stable relationships within the company. So they kind of know who they need to go to for what, when they need to go to for what. And that's you in a nutshell, my friend. Two questions, picking some words. How did that feel, Michael?
Like you know me, without even having spoken to me just through this assessment. It is really, really wild that you got that amount of information from those two questions. And yeah, if you're watching visually, the whole time I'm just nodding my head and smiling because of how eerily accurate that is.
Yeah, and what's the best part about it, Michael, is, you know, I'm trained to give readbacks, but in the platform when you use it, there's reports that say, hey, you want to know this about the person? Press this button, and you know it. So I obviously, this is my business, this is my life, so I actually go to deep dives with it. But if you're an owner of a company, you can literally press a button and it'll tell you exactly what I just told you in several different reports, how to manage them, how to coach them, what questions you need to ask them on the interview. Here's some self-awareness stuff. Here's their behavior report. Here's their cognitive assessment. Everything is in there with a press of a button.
One last question before I ask you where our audience can go find out more about this and yourself,
Sure.
Jason. Is an operator, that headline there, a good business owner? Or is that like a subjective thing that, you know what, a bunch of different of those 17, I believe it was,
Yeah.
could be business owners or so on and so forth? Is my profile indicative of a business owner?
Yes. So every profile can own a business for sure,
Okay.
right? We
Gotcha.
just need to play to the strengths of the owner, and then we have to know who do I need to hire to grow in other areas of my business, right? So you're going to be great at certain things in your business, and you're going to be have some blind spots. But the same with another profile. They'll be great at certain things in their business and they'll have some blind spots. So now we know, okay, so here's Michael. He's the owner of this business. Here's what he's going to do amazing. What does he have to hire for now to help him? Who does he have to have alongside with him to make sure that his business thrives, right?
Jason, thank you so much for this. Really
No
appreciate
problem.
your time here. Where can our audience go? Find out more about you, yourself, predictive success, as well as jet coaching and consulting. Where do you want to send them to?
So you know what I'd love to do actually is anybody who is watching this podcast, I would give them what I like to call a free role assessment, right? And a free role assessment, and everybody's hiring or promoting or doing something, I like to give them the proof in the pudding, right? So what I do is if they want to get a hold of me on my email, jtaylor@predictivesuccess.com, right? And they just put in, Michael's podcast or something triggering this, I'll actually give them a free role assessment and I'll give them a free read back of their assessment so they become a little more of a self-aware leader. And then we can have a conversation and talk all about that. So again, Jay Taylor, JTAYLOR at predictivesuccess.com. And you could probably put that at the end of the podcast. And I'll give them a free role assessment and a read back of their assessment as well.
Awesome. I'll put that in the show notes as well as I'll talk about it at the very beginning of the podcast to all of our listeners there. Jason, thank you so much.
No problem, Michael. I appreciate you having me on. It's a great podcast, and I appreciate what you do for the industry. This stuff's great.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to episode 250 of the How to Hardscape podcast. Once again, I thank you so much for anybody and everybody that has listened to these episodes, whether it's one, your first one, or you've listened to all 250, whether you've shared, liked, commented, subscribed, followed, whatever it might be, rated, reviewed, Apple, Spotify, whatever you have done to show some sort of support, I do really appreciate it. I thank you so much for that. Take Jason up on his offer there. Free role assessment and feedback, JTAYLOR@predictivesuccess.com. That email is going to be in the show notes there as well. And I'd love to know what your results were. And just like I shared mine on this podcast, maybe you want to share yours on Instagram, Facebook, just tag me or send me a photo, just an Instagram message. If you don't want those results to be public for whatever reason, but I will send you a merch package of some sort if you actually do go ahead through that, because I'd love to know how this helps you, your business, or how you would see it helping you and your business there. And it's completely free, which is awesome. It's two questions, very quick to do. It took me about like 5 minutes. It's easy and quick, painless. And once again, the How to Hardscape headquarters software is going up in pricing very shortly here. Course creation app coming out shortly, so that price increase will be for new users. At How to Hardscape on Instagram, shoot me a message, or members.howtohardscape.com before that pricing increases. We want to say thank you to our sponsor, Cycle CPA. If you're looking for bookkeeping, accounting, CFO services, reach out to Cycle CPA at cyclecpa.com. Let them know How to Hardscape sent you for money off their services there. And we look forward to meeting with you next week on the How to Hardscape podcast.